Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
Good morning, Dr. Paul. How are you?
Good.
Good.
Doing well. Guess what? The Putin-Trump summit issue is still on the table.
No.
There's still a lot of discussion,
really?
Maybe even more. You know, yesterday we got started very quickly because our program, of course, began as the press conference ended. And there's been a lot of talk and who's to blame. And it's really pretty fascinating how the ducks are lining up.
Yeah.
And looking at it, I mean, some of the reports of the people who are talking about it, especially the neocons, they come across as pretty hysterical. And there are some people who think that there's been a tremendous victory for the neocons, that they're winning because there's a bipartisan support and criticism going on in the mainstream media. But once again, it's a question on whether the mainstream media really represents the people. But of course, are making a lot of noise and condemning it, even to the point where, you know, your patriotism might be challenged if you say that this was a good idea. And, of course, we took a position yesterday recognizing the shortcomings of what we do. And we've been very critical of our CIA and our FBI, our foreign policy, the president, and on. But we do not hesitate to make the point if you're moving in the right direction, and that is something that looks like a step toward peace rather than a step toward war, we have to come down on the side of saying, take the step. You don't know the results, but you do know the results if you just do nothing more than antagonize. So I would say that we're sticking, or at least I'm sticking to my guns, and I'm sure you will, that this was a step in the right direction, and that some of this criticism and accusation is over the top. And only time will tell when the dust settles whether this represents, disintegration of the neocons' omnipotence. But they're still in a powerful position because there's a lot of politicians who run Washington that are, you know, condemning Trump, as well as how many TV stations are saying, you know, it's good that we're working toward peace, and this is a good idea. Yeah, we know there's shortcomings with the Russians, but, you know, we have a few shortcomings ourselves, you know. So, but we don't hear that, and I hope we can offer something to have people consider at least that this is not a disaster as the media has been reporting.
Yeah, I would like to have seen some of those channels saying that, because it didn't happen from the NBC, the mainstream, all the way to Fox and all the others. You had this sort of constant din. And the funny thing is, and this is what makes me suspicious about our mainstream media, they all use the same phrases as if someone handed them out. And this one was, Trump threw the intelligence agencies under the bus. You notice how they all said that. Everyone said that. They all acted as if Trump should have come out of that meeting with Putin, and as soon as they stood in front of the press conference, just start pummeling him, yelling and screaming at him, anything short of that. So I think the whole thing was preloaded into it. The gun was preloaded. No matter what Trump came out with, they were planning on shooting him down.
You know, and the one thing that they forget on purpose, and most Americans forget because they never learned it, is that... Russians have their problems, and they're not perfect, but compared to what the Soviets were like, they look pretty good. But the other thing is interference. You know, was there interference? Was there tinkering? Did it do very much? You know, it comes down on the side of saying, you know, this is not a real, real big deal. But if you compare it, if we're honest with ourselves, we have to say and talk about what we're responsible for. We're American citizens. We've worked in the government, and we have a responsibility, if we're interested, is to present the case in an honest manner. And when you think about it, some of the things that we have done, continue to do, if we compare what the Russians have accomplished in the last 5 years compared to what we were involved in the last 5 years, and, you know, Brennan, he was the CIA director from 2013, 2017, there were a few shenanigans going on at that time that were absolutely illegal in the two sense that were unconstitutional and all these things. And now he's turning around and starting to accuse people of lack of patriotism and being un-American and a little bit stronger at times.
Yeah, Brennan is really a case in point. And, you know, yesterday, and I wrote this out to our subscribers for the Ron Paul Institute updates. You popped your head in after the show and said, "Hey, did you see what Brennan tweeted out?" And I said, "No." And you said he called it treasonous. And in fact, we have a clip of Brennan on Morning Joe this morning where he elaborates on it and actually ends with what sounds to me like a threat to the president. Maybe we can, if we can run that clip. It's just about 30 seconds
Trump,
of Brennan here.
Conscience are going to see that he is leading us down a very dangerous path. And it is a dangerous path. And what we don't want is for Mr. Putin to walk away from that meeting thinking that he can get away now with whatever he wants. And I still shake my head trying to understand what was discussed during the two-hour one-on-one. And what was discussed between the two sides in their bilateral meeting.
Yeah, there was, Brennan, I don't know if we got the whole clip, but he points out by saying that the president betrayed the U.S. Intelligence community. He betrayed the NSA and the FBI. He betrayed the country. His actions were treasonous. He said, quote, "It needs to stop, and Mr. Trump needs to understand that there are consequences." That sounds pretty ominous.
Boy, it is, but how often have they, that group, ever challenged those individuals who lie through their teeth, get caught lying through their teeth, and the consequence is war, illegal, unconstitutional, unnecessary wars where thousands and thousands of people die, even into the millions when you think of the Middle East and Vietnam and all these things. Try and talk to people into that. And that's the job of our CIA and the FBI, is to lie us into doing bad things. And to me, that's pretty devastating. But just think, Comey, is he a saint and never told us a fib? And Schrock, I mean, he's the picture of the FBI. And then we also have Clapper. He's been like a proven liar.
Yeah, he's under oath. He lied.
And yet now what they're doing is they're painting Trump. I can think of a lot of things that I'd like to straighten out with Trump.
Yeah, no kidding.
But not in this issue. I say in this issue, the step is in the right direction. I say when he wants to use sanctions and trade wars, that's not a step in the right direction. But this is a step in the right direction. Talk to people, even if they're imperfect, because we have a few imperfections ourselves.
Yeah, no, you're not allowed to say that because we're absolutely perfect. But, you know, someone like Brennan, who lied to us about his intelligence community spying on us. They were spying on us illegally. He lied to us about that. Is that not treasonous? Is that upholding the Constitution? No, it's not. And here's a guy, and I don't have a beef with people that have weird political views necessarily, but here's a guy who in the 70s voted for the Communist Party. And I could see a protest vote for the Libertarians or something, but this is a guy who voted for the Communist Party, and he's going on talking about how Trump now trying to make peace with Russia is treasonous. I mean, it's and you talk about liars. Look at Robert Mueller. He lied to us about the Iraq WMDs when he was President Bush's FBI director. He lied to us. The intelligence community itself lied to us about Iraq. Certainly on the higher up level, the people who were the political appointees lied to us about Iraq. So, when they talk about throwing the intelligence community under the bus, my friend Phil Giraldi sent out an email to a few of us this morning. He said the intelligence community threw itself under the bus a long time ago, and I think that has a
right. You know, Pat Buchanan had an article out, and he talked about this, and he had some positive things to think about, because what he has said Trump has done is he's prevented, you know, Cold War number two.
Yeah.
By doing what he did. And, of course, the logical conclusion is, well, we understand why they're so angry. Not because they don't approach it as we do from a viewpoint of morality and what's good for the country and what's good for peace, but they approach it from, you know, the expenditures. They need the Cold War. The Cold War is very beneficial. I mean, even the bureaucracy benefits from it. And you know, the lobbyists benefit by it. But the people who get to make the weapons, they benefit by it. And they make all kinds of justification for us to get involved. And, you know, a little bit of the discussion came up yesterday with Putin, you know, dealing with Ukraine and Crimea. Unfortunately, you know, it was hard for me to follow, you know, those interviews.
Yeah.
But there's some material in there that does show that Putin, you know, gave the correct answers. You know, I often think about Crimea, and we've talked about Crimea, why it's a little bit different than, you know, what the Soviets were doing. And this didn't mean they were going to invade Germany pretty soon. But I kept thinking, well, maybe we ought to make a deal with them. This is just in jest, of course. We'll make a deal with the Russians. You give Crimea back, let them have independence, yeah. and we'll give Guantanamo back to Cuba. I don't think that. What are you talking about? We stole that fair and square.
Exactly. And the whole Crimea issue, if we have to revisit it yet again, you know, if you didn't want Crimea, which is almost 100% Russian, to want to go back with Russia, you shouldn't have had a coup. The U.S., Victoria Nuland, shouldn't have had a coup in Ukraine that upset the whole apple cart. It's like you kick over the apple cart and then complain that the apples are all over the ground. You know?
And whatever happened to the pretense, at least, that we believe in self-determination. And in a way, Crimea did have a vote, and they wanted to go back with Russia, and they've been with them. I mean, they've had a lot more time with Russia than anybody else. They're not Europeans in that sense. But I thought it was well pointed out. I thought Rand pointed out in some of his discussion was this whole thing about what we did and the promise, I guess it was under George Bush Sr., that we would never take one step east of Germany. And yet, where are we? Right up on the borders.
Yeah.
But it amazes me that the American people don't say, well, you know, I didn't realize that. That is significant. That would be just like the Russians putting troops and missiles on the Rio Grande River. You know, they never stop and think about that, or put the Chinese fleet in the Gulf of Mexico. You know, this whole thing, they never look at it on how we would do it and how we would look at it if they did what we do to them.
And that's because of the poison of American exceptionalism, you know. And it's not exceptionalism because, you know, we're pretty good people. The American exceptionalism that unfortunately has drummed into people's brain is the government, the military. All of these things are exceptional, and so if we go up to your border and we stand there with our guns, we're only doing good. We can't possibly be threatening you.
Yeah, that's the way it's been. But up until this episode, you know, generally speaking, we were making inroads because the American people have been waking up, and I think it's still going to continue. And they've become skeptical of the CIA and skeptical of the FBI. The FBI has a bad reputation now, and that's why a lot of people get hysterical, not because they think the FBI is noble and will really take care of us, and we need the CIA. It's just that that's part of the establishment. The CIA really is part of that secret government, the deep state, and they run the show. And if you look back at you know, the killings that went on in our country, the assassinations and all, you know, the hand, the fingerprints, frequently would involve the CIA.
Yeah, remember, and they intervened in 81 elections, the CIA did, since World War II. We've talked about that before. Paul Molsheim is I think, a very insightful journalist, and he had a piece where he quoted Pat Lang, who we've had speak at your lunches before. And Pat Lang was a Defense Intelligence Agency, a very top, high-level guy, which would be the equivalent of the Russian GRU. And he had a good point on his Six Semper Tyrannis blog, which is that, of course, the Russians look at our elections, we look at their elections, we look at everyone's elections. That's what they do. He said this is not an issue of an attack on our national sovereignty. It's a counterintelligence issue. We need to have better counterintelligence, you know, to address it. But, you know, we're talking about unhinged people. I think Brennan is really unhinged. I think the guy is really off of his rocker. But there are some people sitting in Congress, Dr. Paul, who I think are just as kooky. And we have a couple of tweets we just wanted to throw out for fun in a way. Although it's not that much fun. But look, here's Adam Schiff. This guy is the ranking member in the House Intelligence Community. President Trump's performance today was the most damaging and shameful surrender of American values and interests in modern history. I say to my Republican colleagues, wake up. What, overthrow him? But here's even worse. Here's Steve Cohen from Tennessee. Where are our military folks? The commander-in-chief is in the hands of our enemy. He's calling for a military coup.
That sounds like that could fall into the category of what they're accusing.
Treasonous. Yeah, treasonous. Yeah, we want a military dictatorship.
You know, but once again, about the comparisons on what we do and what we criticize, it's all a game in propaganda. And the propagandists are pretty powerful here. And when they propagandize for war, too often they're successful. But the bottom line shows that we're not isolationists.
Yeah.
I don't particularly like that word, but we're very much super interventionists. And even this little step away from it, the suggestion that maybe we should talk instead of just threatening. But it is known that we have troops, some military forces, and CIA operatives, and special forces in probably 120 countries. And we have been involved in so many elections. Some say 80 since World War II. Some say 100. We've been involved in so many. So if, let's say, everything they've said about Russia, which I don't happen to believe because nothing seems to have happened. They weren't very successful. If it were all true, what is it in comparison to what we have done, you know, throughout all these years, and you know, starting especially in 1953. Think of that effort to get rid of Mossadegh in Iran.
Yeah.
That's ongoing. And there's so many unintended consequences and blowback that goes on and on. It doesn't just happen for a year and everybody forgets about it and they go back to it. We're involved antagonizing people constantly. But now, I don't know, maybe it's not proper for us to be critical. But I always thought the First Amendment gave us the authority and the right to criticize our own government. But now, if you bring it up and say people calling for a coup and trying to destroy any step toward peace or any step backing off from this intervention, we become the bad guys. That, of course, is the intellectual fight going on. That's why it's very necessary we continue to this to reach as many people for them to understand what's really going on.
Exactly. And, you know, revisiting the whole issue of throwing the intelligence community under the bus, which everyone said yesterday and including today, what they're talking about, and we've dealt with this before, we have to deal with it again, is the intelligence community assessment. It wasn't an NIE. It wasn't something that went through the system. It was an assessment that was done at the beginning of this year. And the claim over and over repeated, and they finally had to, the New York Times finally had to pull back on it, was that 17 intelligence agencies, all 17, signed off on this assessment that Russia hacked the elections and was involved in the elections. The fact is, as we know, there were only four agencies, and within those four agencies, they were hand-picked analysts. Brennan himself admitted they were hand-picked analysts. You can find a hand-picked analyst to come up with any conclusion. But who was doing the hand-picking? It was Brennan. It was the liar Clapper. It was all of these people we're talking about who were incredibly politicized, openly supporting Mike Morrell, openly supporting Hillary for president. They were the ones who picked these analysts and said, here's the conclusion we want you to come to. Then they say, how dare you go against these guys? So this is something we have to, I guess, keep saying. These were not 17 intelligence agencies. These were people picked by proven liars. So anyway, I'm getting a little bit steamed up here. But my conclusion would be, here's the Democrats. Russia hacked us. It's Trump's fault. Here's the Republicans. Russia hacked us. It's Obama's fault. Here's us. Where's the proof?
Yeah. Oh, that's not acceptable, asking for that.
Come to our conference in August. We're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about the media. We're going to talk about all of these things that are even, as every day passes, they become more relevant. Ticket sales are picking up. Unfortunately, I think we're benefiting from some of this. But RonPaulInstitute.org/conference. Get them now while we still have the early bird special on. Get a good bargain. Come visit with Dr. Paul and a lot of other experts talking about these things.
Very good. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today and this follow-up on the Trump-Putin summit. But I would conclude that what we're witnessing now and all the noise and shouting is a reflection of desperation. I think they're desperate. I don't think this is a sign of a victory. If this were a true victory, they would quietly walk away and say, well, we've conquered them. Nobody is going to believe this anymore, and we are in charge, and we're back in business again. I think a lot of what Daniel has said about who's telling lies and all this policy stuff and the American people, I think, are waking up. And those who are in charge, no matter how much power they have right now, whether it's on the TVs or in the government or whatever, they feel they're desperate. And in their desperation, they're acting hysterically. And they will continue to make mistakes because they are not on the side of freedom. They're not on the side of defending non-interventionism. They're not on the side of defending America in a good sense. They're on the side of defending government that is now acting as an empire. And that doesn't sell around the world, and it doesn't sell with the American people because it costs too much and it leads to more problems. So I would say that the bottom line is, in the last 2 days, in the discussion and what's happened, it's been a net benefit. And I think if you put it in proper perspective and encourage our leaders to continue to move in that direction, it will be good for all of us. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.